where Milford comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show. Now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. You know, one of the things we care most about in our community and here on the Lisa Wexler Show are the rights of animals. Joining us now is Joanne Basile of Connecticut Votes for Animals, which is a group that is organized to try and have an impact in legislative changes that will enhance the welfare, the treatment of our animals. Joanne, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show and good morning. Welcome back. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me on the show this morning. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to your folks about what's going on in Hartford on bills that have an impact on animals.
Yeah, so let's go through it. What are the bills that your group is advocating passage of? What's going on?
Sure. I wanted to just follow up a little bit on, I thought I heard the tail end of piece where you're going to have Governor Lamont on.
Yes, tomorrow.
This week, right? Is it tomorrow? Right.
Yes.
And he's over in Israel looking at businesses. And one of the things you mentioned was what Israel is doing in terms of replicating its form of cellular division,
yes.
I guess. Different kinds of plant-based or alternative meat consumptions.
Correct.
And that goes right into a bill, actually, that this administration out of the Department of Agriculture is promoting, which is so anti-animal and so backwards in terms
really?
Of what we should be promoting in this state. Absolutely.
All right, tell
me
about
this,
Joanne.
Bill number. Sure.
Go ahead.
It's HB 5263. And the department has a bill before committees regarding processing rabbits for food consumption.
Rabbits.
So what they're going to do? Rabbits. That's right. So in a day and age when I don't know what the population is that eats rabbit as meat.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'm serious, Joanne. Dogs that can't eat regular protein will eat rabbit. I had a dog that had to subsist on rabbit when she couldn't eat anything else. Telling you the truth.
Right. Now,
small group.
Yeah, it's exactly a small group.
Small group.
The Department of Agriculture is promoting this bill under some guise of economic development for the state. It's going to allow these processors to basically do a factory-like farming production of rabbit meat in the state.
In Connecticut?
1,000 rabbits per in Connecticut.
Why would we do that? Why?
Well, you asked the governor that question. I have no idea. There's actually testimony. There is a hearing as we speak now in the Commerce Committee where the Department of Agriculture is speaking on this to promote this very idea. Connecticut Votes for Animals membership, along with HSUS, their membership at the Humane Society of the United States. We have over 100 comments that were sent into the committee in opposition to this bill. Strangely enough, we can't seem to find it online. For some reason, the legislature is having trouble keeping up with getting all of their public comments online in sufficient time. But people are... Our membership and other people who learn about this are furious, and you need to let your legislator know that you don't want Connecticut going in this direction.
I know people that won't buy lipstick if it's been on an animal tested.
Correct.
Rabbits were used. I mean, rabbits were originally used to see if people were pregnant. Then thankfully the pharmaceutical industry was able to go past that. But rabbits have been used in cosmetic industry for years, and many people are trying to get them out of that.
Oh, without a doubt. The whole movement has been to cruelty-free cosmetics, home products.
I found it online.
Okay, great.
Yeah, you just go, this is how you do it. You put on CTHB 5263, and it says it was introduced, a public hearing to take place today.
Right. And let me
tell
you,
enacted an act concerning the processing of rabbits for consumption.
Right.
And, the Commissioner of Agriculture shall be the state official in charge of inspecting any producer that operates as a rabbit processing facility. Who wants this?
Yes, and they're testifying as we speak.
No, but who
the
wants it, literally?
Started at 11 o'clock.
But who wants it?
Like, you ask the Department of Agriculture that question. Get them on the line and ask them why they want to do this. And they're doing it under promoting farming, agriculture in the state of Connecticut.
Okay.
This is where they want to go. I mean, it's crazy. So, if your listeners, my advice to them would be to get to their legislator, and we can, if you go to our website, we can tell you how to do that. Go to ctvotesforanimals.org, www.ctvotesforanimals.org, and we can show you how to navigate the system up in Hartford to find out who your legislator is if you don't know, and to let them know that you don't want Connecticut doing this kind of thing. It is so contrary to the trend in this country. You know, we're moving towards alternatives to meat products, and certainly not things like rabbits. You know, rabbits are the third most popular pet that we have next to cats and dogs. It goes cats, dogs, and rabbits. Whole Foods back in, I think it was like 2014, tried to bring in rabbit meat in their stores. People were so angry that they pulled it within a year. This is not a popular idea. I don't know where the department got this idea that they should do this, but that's what they're doing. And they're going to do it in two. They're going to do it in two committees. So they went to Commerce today. We understand that in the next week or so, they have the same bill introduced in the Environment Committee. And on that committee, one of your local senators is on that committee, and that's Senator Will Haskell. And they need to let him. Your listeners need to let him know that you don't want Connecticut to get into a rabbit processing business. Not what we should be doing.
I'm looking at the bill, and it says that people can keep up to 1,000 rabbits.
Correct.
In any calendar year.
Slaughtering thousands of bunnies.
Yes, we are.
I know. So, you want me to? I will tell you. Connecticut Votes for Animals has been around since 2008. So we are 14 years old, and we represent well over 5,500 people in across the state and actually every legislative district of the state. Our goal is we're a grassroots animal advocacy organization. Our goal is to get people to get information to people so that they can let their legislators know how they feel about certain animal issues. And you can find a lot of information on our website. So let me, if you'd like, I'll run through some of the main bills that we're working on this year.
I want to talk about, yes, I do, but I specifically want to talk. I have something I would like to advocate that you think about advocating for.
Okay.
Joanne, ready for this? So I just found out a week ago that, and I found this out through our head of conservation in Westport, because I was inquiring about a piece of land that I'm seeing little flags on that I had thought was designated open space. And they're going to look into this because I'm nervous about it. Anyway, because when you see those little flags, you know, you get nervous that someone's thinking of taking trees down, right? You get nervous. So,
it was brought to me
by a friend of mine. I didn't see it, a friend of mine, and I went into the woods and I saw these flags. So now everyone's nervous about this. So I'm having the town look into it. But the first thing I said to the head of conservation was, you know that I will tell you firsthand that this is a very important habitat for wildlife in the area. In other words, I know bobcats live there. I know that's where our foxes live. That's where the coyotes roam. And it's not where they prey on domestic animals, but there's red-tailed hawks in the trees. And this is a very important place for animal habitat. And she said to me, Joanne, this is what I want you to know. She said to me that in reviewing regulations with respect to open space, that animal habitat is not an allowable consideration in keeping open space. And I want you, and I will be happy after the show to put you in touch with the head of conservation. She will specifically tell you that the Connecticut environmental regs do not allow conservation of animal habitat to be looked at as a criteria in advocating to keep open space.
Open space. Interesting. You know, I didn't. That's a great piece of information, Lisa. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I was shocked.
Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me a great deal because, you know, we're so progressive in Connecticut on so many things. And I'll tell you, when it comes to animal, taking care of our animals, wildlife, domestic animals, and so on, we're just not there. We got a long way to go.
Well, I want to go with you. I want to be on that journey. So I want it after the show. I'm serious. Because this way you'll get the very specifics. Because I would like to think that we could. I would like to think that our legislators would say that it's a no-brainer, that that in the criteria of thinking about conserving land, that we get to at least argue on behalf of our animals and their habitat.
You know, you're right. We should, because they are such an integral part of maintaining a healthy habitat. I mean, we certainly, you know, we talk a lot about wanting to preserve the environment, but somehow when it comes to wildlife, we take a very different position with respect to that. I mean, you know, I don't know if you know this, but coyotes, for instance, can be hunted in this state 7 days a week, hunted and trapped 7 days a week.
That.
Yes, 7 days a week, 12 months a year. Every day of the year, you can go out and kill a coyote. There's nothing stopping you from doing that.
It's outrageous. Coyotes are part of the balance of nature. They keep down our rodent population. If you just want to think about human beings, they keep down our Lyme disease. They eat the mice.
That's right. We have lots. But we could go down the list. There's very little protection for our animals in here. And given the increase in bobcats, we are very concerned that the Department of Department of Environmental Protection is going to be proposing a hunting on bobcats.
They're doing
a study. You know, you can see that because this is just what they do. Right now they're promoting. Well, at any rate, we don't need to get into all of that stuff. But you don't get the kind of protection that you would think you do. So we want the Connecticut consumer to get smart about what's going on in the state with respect to animals.
So tell me about SB 239, a prohibition on rodenticides to protect raptors. What is that about, Joanne? Tell us.
Well, you know, I don't know. The bill just came out yesterday. The language just came out yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to review it. But what we do know is that our raptors, hawks, eagles, obviously owls and so on, you know, they pick up mice and so on, and oftentimes those animals are infected with poisons that have been used for our convenience to keep those animals out of our, you know, houses. And when the raptors consume that, that goes systemically within their system, and it destroys their nerves, and the raptors suffer a very painful death. So that bill is out, and the idea is to try, I haven't read it yet, so it's, I don't want to say exactly, but I think the concept is going to be to either limit or prohibit the use of rodenticides so that we can stop that process of it being ingested by these magnificent raptors.
So people, if they want to kill the mice, which is fine. I don't like mice living in my basement either, frankly.
Right.
But then they'll have to go back to the old-fashioned trap with peanut butter and bacon and do it one at a time.
Where, you know, that is going to, and we would not advise people.
I know you wouldn't, but I know you wouldn't, but I have a thing. I mean, I don't really like mice in my basement. I'm just telling you.
And I get it. And there are alternatives, however, and that's what we need to start doing. We need to educate people so that they know that there are alternatives to do it.
Yeah, I know there are. There are have a heart traps. I'm very squeamish about rodents, but I won't have any rodenticides around my property. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Right. So, but you know, it's incumbent upon us, and not you, but organizations like Connecticut Vets for Animals, and my understanding is there's an organization called A Place Called Hope, which is a wonderful rehabilitation organization in Killingworth, Connecticut, and their focus is exclusively on raptors. And this has been their goal is to get this bill passed. So it's at any rate, you'll be hearing more about that once we take a look at it. We're going to be testifying in support of it. So,
And we're talking with Joanne Basile, the executive director of CT Votes for Animals, and you can find their website, ctvotesforanimals.org. All right, and so what else, Joanne, is really on the hit parade, you think, this year you're advocating for? Go ahead.
Sure. Might be of particular interest to your listeners, is this requiring adequate shelter for dogs. During weather advisories.
Tell
it's HB 5170,
yes.
Right?
There's a lot of social media about a couple of notorious situations in our own neighborhood here in Fairfield County where neighbors are incensed that their own neighbor is allowed to treat a dog a certain way. So tell us about that.
Right. And that's actually the genesis for this bill. And, big thanks goes out to the Fairfield delegation, the legislative delegation, and that is Representative Laura Devlin, Representative Jenny Leeper, Representative Kristen McCarthy-Vahey, and Senator Tony Huang, all of whom kind of got together and are really kind of moving this bill along. So what this does is it requires, if people are going to keep their dogs outside and not let them in their home, they need to provide protection. And that needs to be available during the times, especially during the times when you have these weather advisories for severe weather forecasts, either heat or cold. Right now, that is not, we don't have that availability. In fact, we had this bill. This bill came before the legislature in 2018, was passed overwhelmingly in the state House of Representatives, and unfortunately never got over to the Senate before they adjourned.
I see.
So it's been 4 years since 2018 that we've had, that there's been no protection for these. Exclusively to dogs, by the way. I'm sorry, I should have said that. So it's been 4 years before there hasn't been any protection. So this year we're just trying to catch up with what should have been done in 2018. So
is there any opposition to the bill, Joanne? Is there any opposition?
There's always opposition, although I must say we had the hearing last week on Friday. There was a lot of testimony that was sent into the committee, and several people testified. They're doing stuff via Zoom now. And so several people testified, including some people from Fairfield. Obviously, we testified in support of that legislation. And I would say, in general, there were very positive responses from the committee members.
Okay.
And we'll see. I mean, last time it passed the House by 132 votes. 132 yay votes, which is a big margin. There were 18 no votes. So we're hopeful. Now, you never know. Things change over 4 years. So right now we haven't heard of a lot of opposition, but that's been emerging. But you never know until it gets out of committee and, the whole legislature starts to look at it when if you might find, that there might be some issues there. But I will tell you, this is something that animal control officers have been looking for.
They want it. They want it.
That's exactly right. They need that guidance. They need stuff that's very specific.
They want to be able to do something. You think they want to leave an animal shivering out in the cold? They're not happy about it.
They have horrible examples to
right.
share. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
We've got a caller who's holding Gloria from Westport. You're on the air with Joanne Basile of CTVotesForAnimals.org. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me, Lisa?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure because I was on two lines there at you. First of all, hope you and Joanne are doing well, family, healthy, and happy. This is for Joanne. Joanne, we all want to thank you for all the years of hard work and dedication defending our helpless animals. Your devotion is truly, truly appreciated, and that's all I want to say.
Thank you, Gloria. What a lovely compliment. We do it with, as you know, a lot of dedication. We believe that you need to speak up for animals, and that's our role with Connecticut Votes for Animals. And we want to thank you for your efforts in speaking out for animals as well.
Well, Gloria does call our show quite a bit, and she wants to make sure these kind of issues are front and center because, you know what? I think one voice represents thousands. I mean, I can tell you as somebody who knocked on thousands of doors in my alternative life as someone trying to get elective office every few years, most people have pets. And anybody with a pet has empathy towards all animals that are, you know, domesticated and we want to take care of our animals, and we love our animals. And for many of us, they are surrogate children. Let's be honest. They are.
That's right. That's right. You would think these would be very easy issues for the legislature to handle. But, you know, instead of rising to the top, they fall to the bottom. It's just amazing. At any rate.
Well, Joanne Basile, thank you so much for being on. It's ctvotesforanimals.org. You can see what their most important agenda items are. It directs you towards the bills that if you care about them, you can advocate with your own legislators. And if you ever think that your voice doesn't really matter, let me assure you that it really does, that our local state legislators are very sensitive to what their constituents care about. So one letter goes a long way. It does.
It goes a huge way, Lisa. It does. It does. Thank you for that message. You're absolutely correct about that. Listen, can I also just mention that we're very active on social media, so follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Okay. CT Votes for Animals. Thank you, Joanne Basile. We'll be right back with more of The Lisa Wexler Show. Stay tuned.